everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. We're doing a special Friday episode for you today. Don't normally do Friday, but this is when I could get Jeff Garland to talk to me, and we did that exact thing here in just a couple minutes. If you want to come see Jeff this Sunday at 7 p.m., it is a single show, Sunday, September 8th at 7 p.m. There are still some tickets available, but very few. It's getting tough to get in for Jeff. So if you want to come, go, and I'm looking at it right now. There's a few seats in the very back of the room, maybe middle back. There might be one or two. So you got to get your tickets very, very soon if you want to see Jeff Garland, if you're listening to this right now on Friday as I'm posting it. It's the only day he could do it, and it's a great interview. I asked him tons of great questions about comedy, about his career, about Curb Your Enthusiasm. You'll hear that in a second. But as it is a Friday, I haven't promoted this week's shows yet on this on here podcast. So we've got Josh Sneed for you this evening at 7:15 p.m. on Friday the 6th, and two shows with Josh at 7 p.m. and 9:30 on Saturday the 7th. Josh is one of the best guys out there from the Cincinnati area, but well-known all over through comedy. Had a dry bar special that was hilarious. He's appeared on Comedy Central. Matt Benjamin is the feature act, and Luke Nesbitt is the MC, and they're both really good, too. Great weekend of comedy at the Comedy Castle with these guys. Josh Sneed tonight and Saturday. And Sunday night, one big show with Jeff Garland. And let's get into the Jeff stuff here, because that's why you're here. And the show is going, literally, you should come to the show, because there's so few tickets. Get those tickets now, even before I start playing on this. And I'll talk to you a little bit about what we started, what we talked about on this show. I did ask him about Curb Your Enthusiasm. It was really more towards the end of this episode. But I talked to him about when Bruce Springsteen was a guest. You can't think I wouldn't ask about that. We also talk about his career, improv, stand-up, how improv helped him with stand-up comedy. A lot of great tips for emceeing a comedy show. You'll hear those. So if you're a young comic and you're emceeing shows, there's great tips from Jeff, and I agree with every single one of them. We'll talk about the other comedians that he helped. We'll talk about the comedians that help him. We'll talk about his controversy with Joe Rogan, which to me wasn't really a big deal, and I found very entertaining. And you hear him sort of say, maybe I don't want to get into this Joe Rogan thing, but it was good. It's good, and I think we cleared the air. I didn't come to that in any sort of... Anyway, you'll just hear the Joe Rogan thing. Maybe we'll talk about it after. We also talk about his love of guitar, which is the thing that I also love, and why we both love Mike Bloomfield from Bob Dylan's band. Little Dylan talk in there, too. Jeff's just a great guy. You just hear him go on. He's riffing. He's telling stories. That's really what the show is. I watched his Netflix special, and he's just going to bring a lot of real fun, joyous energy, improvisation, and just good times. If you love him on Curb, that's the guy we're talking to. That's the thing that I learned. The guy that you hear on this show is the guy that was on Curb. Really fun to listen. I hope it's fun to listen to. It was fun to make it. Here's Jeff Garland, everybody, and we'll be back after, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to have on my show, and gracing the Comedy Castle, Jeff Garland. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks,
on
man.
My phone talking to you.
Yeah, but this is going to sound nice when I post it. I'm pretty good.
Well, no, it's I'm actually honored to be on your show.
It sounds great.
Your phone. There you go.
You know, these phones, they don't all sound good when I do this.
Does mine?
Oh, yours sounds terrific.
Okay, good for me.
But
I thank the good folks at Apple and Verizon.
I think the level of success has something to do with that. Maybe not. I think it does. Maybe it does. It's so great to talk to you, because you are a guy that I've been such a fan of for years and years. I don't believe you've ever performed at the Comedy Castle in the past.
No, I never have, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing this 41 years. I'm from Chicago.
Sure.
And the Comedy Castle has an amazing reputation. And it's one of those clubs where you go, you'd think, but I haven't.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a great time. And you know, all the work that you did when I was starting out in stand-up, I started in 1999. And very early on, Curb Your Enthusiasm came on. And amongst the comics, my crew of comics, that's all we would talk about. We'd watch the episodes every week. And you were the favorite. You were the guy we all related to.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. It's a great show. Incredible show. I mean, I know people always ask you about Curb. I don't know if you're sick of talking about it.
No, I'm not sick of talking about anything. Like I said, I truly am honored that anyone wants to talk to me.
Yeah. But I mean, what a show. I mean, incredible. But let's get into stand-up comedy as a thing. I was watching your Netflix special.
Yes.
And at some point in your Netflix special, you say, I don't have an act.
Right.
Well,
what happened with that one, and that's pretty true.
Yeah.
But what happened with that one was I had the semblance of an act for the first show. Yeah. I had beats. I had things I wanted to talk about. And then I got it, and I was really happy. So when I went out for the second show, I just, you know, was completely loose and did whatever. And that show is mostly improvised.
Yeah. And that's sort of the inside of making those specials, is that it's multiple shows. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yes, always. Usually it's two nights back to back.
Because I always tell people, I teach comedy class over at the Comedy Castle. And I always say to them, I say, go see it live, because it's so much, that you watch the special and it's multiple shows put together, the things that don't work.
But by the way, my last special, though, what was on the air was 90% the second show.
Yeah. Nice. That's great. It was a terrific special. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
You're telling this story about the CVS incident, and you just stopped to go on a the guy's on a friend date, as I would call it.
I've been him.
I've been him too. I wrote a bit about being on the friend date. That was one of my early, I'm married now, but I used to talk about that.
But I imagine you still go on friend dates.
With my wife, I think, usually.
Yeah. That's what I meant. I didn't mean
there you go. But I'm bum. All right. So you never said, and we talk about comedy specials. You also helped so many comedians, directed and helped with specials for other comics.
For two. John Stewart, Unleavened, and Dennis Leary's Lock and Load.
Yeah. And what did you bring to those?
Well, what I did was with them, I did it with John first. Mm-hmm. I'm old friends with both of them. They're old friends of mine. And what it was I went on the road with them, and I would give them notes, and we talk about the show and help them develop their performance, both material and on stage. And so that was my contribution to those.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. People turn to you.
Yes.
They say, Jeff, help me out.
Of that era, I don't know how many young comics would turn to me.
Who do you turn to? Do you ever need help? Do you ever feel like, help me with this bit? Let me bounce this off you.
Not usually with bits, but I have peers. Larry certainly is someone. Sure. My friend of mine, Bob Odenkirk, is someone I go to. Louis C.K. is someone I go to.
Some good guys.
Yeah. smart guys.
So when you come to Comedy Castle, what can we expect? Is this going to be, that special is a few years old now that it's on Netflix. Is it going to be that? Yes. Is it going to be new? What are we talking about?
There'll be new things. There'll be improvising and probably one or two of my favorite stories.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about improv, because I talk about this with my comedy students all the time. Improv, like taking an improv class versus improvising for stand-up comedy. You've done both.
Well, I was in Second City, so that's where I got my core of improvisation. But I used what I learned in Second City to I brought that to stand-up for myself.
Right. Yeah. Because I always tell people, I said, well, it's a little different. I always tell people, host a show. That's good improvising for a stand-up comic. Host a show. Bring people out. See how the audience is doing. Do that stuff. That's good.
Well, the most important spot on a show, well, obviously the other acts, but the MCs just look at it as a lower level gig. Mm-hmm. And by the way, certainly by some club owners, what have you, they treat it like that. But in reality, you learn everything you need to know from MCing. And the MCing part is more important than the feature act. Mm-hmm. Because when you're an MC, especially like when there's numerous comics, you go up on stage and you're feeling the room in different ways. You're up there, so someone just killed, someone just bombed, someone did okay. And you have to see where you need to do material and not do material. You learn everything from it. Mm. Now it's just somebody goes up, says the names, and they just want to blow everybody off the stage. Right. You know, to, and that's not, you know, the gig.
Well, that's exactly, almost exactly what Mark Ridley would tell you about the role of the MC.
Well, I hope I see him on Sunday.
That's the
We've
tone.
Talked before.
Oh, have you?
And we have mutual friends, but I've never met him.
We'll see. Maybe we'll get out there.
Yeah.
Well, see, he doesn't live in the Detroit area anymore. But he's,
where does
he's,
he live?
He lives over on Lake Michigan on the west side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So, but yeah, you can be there.
I used to do a comedy festival in Traverse City.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got... Well, yeah, Michigan must have been a place you played then, but just not comedy.
Oh, no. I played B's Comedy Kitchen.
Okay, yeah.
This club, and I played the Comedy Corner in Windsor.
Yeah, with Leo DeFore. Yeah, I used to play
Leo DeFore.
I used to work for Leo all the time. Great guy. Love Leo.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
And then I also played East Lansing. Where else did I play? Where's where Amway is?
Oh, Amway's Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah,
that's the West
Grand
Side.
Grand Rapids, I played, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was put up in that Amway hotel. And you know what cell products they had there.
Yeah, well, you know, the people don't get the Amway thing until they get there, I think.
Right,
like, you can explain that, oh, this Grand Rapids, it's a town that was built by Amway. Everything's Amway everywhere you look. People go, yeah, we're sure. And then they go, and they're like, oh, my God. Named Amway. It's a crazy thing. Let me ask you this, because you know, as a podcast host, I've been doing podcasts from way back. Your show, by the way, the By the Way podcast that you did, I was so gutted when you stopped doing that.
Well, I'm going to tell you the saddest thing. It's not the saddest, but my partner in that show said we should stop doing it. Podcasts are going nowhere. And at the time, I debuted at number 2 behind This American Life, and I was every episode was a top 20 show of all podcasts, and they weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I would have a few bucks in my bank account if I had not listened.
It's still out there. I pulled it up today.
You can get those. And you know, I may start it again.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on my schedule, what I'm doing, but I am thinking about that.
But those talks you did, and not just Larry, the Larry David episode was amazing. But I mean, just when you talked to Ben Montench, who's a guy I like Tom
Yeah,
Patty.
Ben.
What a great show. That was the last one you did.
That was the last one I did.
Oh, it was so good.
Ben's one of my favorite people ever.
Oh, so good. Because you got the rock and roll thing. You got that. You play the guitars.
Yes.
I'm also a guitar guy.
Oh, yeah.
No good at all, but I just love it. You know, I just enjoy it. I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I have some nice guitars that I love.
And then
I also am a photographer.
Okay.
I take pictures. I've had shows. I got a book coming out next year.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, I think I have
called
seen
Big
your
Bowl of Wonderful.
Yeah, your camera.
Yeah,
you did a thing on YouTube, right? Where you showed your bag,
that
right?
That was actually old. That was like
that
a,
was old.
Well, no, I've done, there's been a few YouTube episodes.
Yeah.
Where I am, you know, I'm just opening, I'm in my, never mind, I'm in my girlfriend's car.
Okay.
And she's like going, do you need me? Because we just pulled up to her brother's house. And I'm like, I don't need you. I'm in good hands. Yeah, my girlfriend's from Detroit.
Oh, really?
That's one of the reasons that I became available to perform. I hope to come back and play Mark Ridley's for a whole weekend at the castle.
You've literally, as I'm speaking, and I'll say this in the preamble before I bring in, but you got to get a ticket now if you want to come because it's getting real tight. So.
Oh, I had no idea.
It's getting tight.
You know, I rarely check that. Usually I just find out when I get there.
Yeah, well, I'm giving you a little bit of a heads up, but...
Okay.
That's
cool.
Not, I mean, you know, if you're always worried.
Well, I have to put my, I got to call my assistant then and deliver the names for tonight's
she
show.
Did
that
it
might
all.
Put
she
it
did.
Over.
She sent it over. I got that email.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing about you, you must not worry. I want to get back. Well, the podcast thing we talk about. Do you worry ever? I mean, you've had so much success. I mean, two long running television shows. Everybody knows who you are. That oh, no one's going to be there tonight. Do you worry about that? Do you ever
I wonder if this is going to be. There'll be at least a dozen people there. There'll be at least a dozen. No, the truth is, if there was a dozen, I'd give them the same show. Yeah. I would give, hopefully the dozen would have energy because I feed off the energy. Like, all I'm right. better
yeah.
if the audience has energy in terms of being. Actually, the truth is, I rely on the audience's energy.
Right.
So if I go up in the audience, like I've played a lot of audiences over the years right. where you think you're doing bad, you're not. They're having a great time. They're smiling. They're laughing. But there's no big energy mm-hmm. in the room. Well, as a person who's done it for 43 years, I know how to be a professional in those situations. Mm-hmm. I know how to go to my craft in those situations.
Right.
But when I get a crowd that's really fired up and has lots of energy, I will come up with stuff that surprises me almost every time because I truly have no idea what I'm going to say. Being a comedian, a lot of comedians go up and they laugh at their own bits. Yeah. And to me, I don't do that. I know the ending, but I will laugh on stage hard if I know what I'm about to say is ridiculous, or I get a big laugh on something that I just said in that moment. Yeah. And I'm as happy as the audience is, So
that's great. Yeah. I mean, that's great. It is a good thing to feel good while you're doing it. And there are nights I feel like it's not that. You're just trying to not. You're just trying to make the jokes work and hit your time and get out of there before, whatever. But the thing in the special that, our man in Chicago, you're in the audience for a lot of that special.
Well, no, we designed the stage that way.
Yeah.
I should say my set designer did.
Okay.
And what it is, it was three levels down and three levels up.
Right.
And so I went to different levels. So the bottom level, I was there. It almost looked like I was in the crowd, which is what you're saying, but
yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah,
I
was but that stage. Was sort of the design. Bring the fans onto the stage, essentially. Have them right there.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
barrier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That was great. You also said something. I saw this. I was watching a critique of Joe Rogan and on YouTube.
Let's not even talk
about
that.
But you...
No, because
I'll take his name.
The truth. No. I like Joe.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I'm
was
not
really happy
Joe.
To be on his show. I had no idea.
You said a funny thing on there.
But it was like, about, anyone who dry humps on stage.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not funny. He said, not a little. I said, not at all. And then someone made a video of me saying these things. And then it was Joe Rogan who was doing that.
Yeah.
And I felt horrible because when I did it, I didn't know.
Exactly. Yes.
And then if that was the reality, I wouldn't have said anything.
Right,
it's rude.
Yeah. No, it is. Well, no, and I don't. And it didn't appear to me that you made that. You weren't talking about him when you talked about it. And I know the exact guys you're talking about. And I completely agree with you. But I just think that's a really funny criticism of a comic to say never come to the air. It's never funny.
Yes. It's not. There's so many other things, where I just go, really? Really? Do you know what I have to do with MCs? People were talking about MCs.
Okay.
I have to say, don't ask the audience if they're ready.
Yeah, yeah.
They pay good money to be here. They're ready.
Yeah.
They're not telling you, let's wait a minute. And then, all the cliche things that an MC says. Yeah. I said, all I need you to say after you say the next, like the last act, how about it for, whoever. Yeah. Yeah. I go, then all you got to say is, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Garland.
Nice.
And I will tell you, 9 out of 10 times, they get it wrong. They get it wrong, and they'll say one of the cliche things, one of the hackneyed things, and I'm like, you got to get that out of your system. You can't. And then I had a woman the other night. Lovely. I don't know if she's funny or not. She's Japanese.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really have the command of the English language yet. And she said, what do you want me to say? And I said, just say nothing else. Just say, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Garland.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. The act goes off. And walks up the stage. There's a beat. And she goes, Jeff Garland. And I just was so thrown. And I, you know, in the audience, you know, it set a weird tone for me. Nice lady, though. I won't, but on the other hand, I will not have her introduce me again.
There you go.
If she says, what do you want to say? I say, do me a favor, bring up the other act and then just walk off and I'll take care of it.
I learned as an MC to just say, what do you want me to say? Write that down and then just say that.
Yeah,
that,
yes,
that worked for me when I was.
But MC. I think you could memorize, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Jeff Garlin.
I think so.
I don't need to write that down. Yeah, you know.
I used to tell people. I used to say this: "Say, you guys ready for more comedy? I don't care. I'm bringing him out anyway."
The other one.
I would say, I don't care. I'm bringing him out anyway. Here he is. You know.
Oh, that's a funny play.
Yeah, that was what I would
do. But still, all the MCs say that.
Yeah.
Are you ready for more comedy? No, make it stop now. We're gonna leave. I know we paid to see the headliner. We're out of here, man. Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. As an MC, you really can learn all the bones that you need to be an excellent comedian.
I tell my students not to give it up for themselves for coming out. I tell them, don't do that. I say, don't do that. That's they know.
Let them know. You can quote me on that to your students if it makes any difference.
Absolutely. I say, don't give it up for yourselves. They didn't pay money, get dressed up to give it up for themselves.
Yeah.
They came to laugh. Give them the laugh. Yeah. Give them the show. I know.
Just so. The only thing that I think an MC should say out of what's necessary is please tip your waiters and waitresses.
Yes, absolutely. We always
tip your servers. Yeah. Well, I'm saying that's the only thing outside of comedy they should ever say.
Yeah.
Say the person's intro. Do what material is needed. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people like, I had someone say they're going to tell one story before they bring me up. And the person ahead of me did great.
Yeah.
And when someone ahead of you is great, you want to get up on stage away.
Roll.
You don't want to have the MC
ride
bring
the
him
wave.
Down. You right away. And this person did a 20-minute story, and she was the MC. I don't know if she was doing her shot that I would see it or if it was an ego thing. It was certainly didn't have a lot of self-awareness in it.
Yeah, that's the thing I always say. Don't do time between the acts. They want to see you in the beginning. Once they've seen you, they've seen you. Don't go. Yeah. This is going to be essential listening for my comedy students. This
oh, good.
Right here.
Good, good.
I think
you can do comedy between the first and second act if you need it. What I mean by that is if the first act eats it, don't immediately bring up the next act. Do 2 minutes.
Bring them back.
Do 2 minutes. Yeah, that's your job to bring them back.
Bring them back.
Why MC's a hard job.
You that's absolutely
but generally it's unnecessary to do any material between.
Yes.
But sometimes it is, and that's one of the circumstances. You know, young comics always want to follow somebody who bombs or doesn't do well. Uh-huh. It doesn't make when someone goes up and they bomb and then you go up after them, you're basically digging yourself out of their hole. Mm-hmm. It's not like immediately the audience goes, oh, finally. No, they're down. They're out. You got to bring them back up.
They're skeptical of what you're going to do.
This podcast is full of stupid-ass comedy lessons.
This is
great.
This is it. This is what I do. I teach comedy lessons. But all right, but for the people who are not comedians, who might become, I just got to ask you a little one curb inside thing.
You're going to ask me 20. I don't care.
But I don't want to keep you here all day. We want them to come to the show. All right, here's the thing. The final season, a guy that I love, I enjoy guest star, Bruce Springsteen appears on the show.
Yes, he does.
And in one of, I think, one of the all-time funny gags was the three of you sitting around and the Ken and Kendra thing with the Larry.
Yeah,
Tell me about
Bruce's assistant used to be a woman and Larry dated her.
But to have him there at a, you know, in such a key thing, how did that work? Was he good? There was no chance of him ruining that or anything?
No, I even fed him his great line. I never told anybody. You know, when we were filming, he got a huge, huge laugh off something, and then people talked about it after it aired. And I came up with it, but what am I going to do on the set? Go, hey, everybody, I wrote that.
Right. I think I know the line.
I whispered in his ear, I go, next take a beat and say to Larry, because Ken said how they used to have sex a lot on the floor. That's the way Larry liked it. And I say to Larry, take a beat, say to Larry, and say, Larry, I never would have thought of you as a floor fucker. And he chuckled and he did it perfectly.
Yeah, he did.
Because if you say take a beat to a musician, they get it. and he was fantastic. Well, no one ever talked about it, and I'm not going to just jump out and say it, but now that no one knows, I will take credit.
Well, there you go. There you go. But that's
but
also
he was great. He was great from the get-go.
Yeah, and that's so, but that's a line that Jeff would have said if Bruce isn't there, probably, right?
Well,
it would have been in character for your character.
It might have been, but I don't think that way.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm on the show, I'm probably thinking about what's for lunch. You know, I'm not thinking. And so I'm just in the moment in terms of what's happening in the scene. I never try and be funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes I know what I'm about to say is going to be really funny, but I never try. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I stay very calm and quiet. And I can tell you from the history of the show, the audience has not seen me try very much, if ever, because when I try, it's not funny. And I generally apologize to the cast and crew.
And you and Larry had a relationship before the show?
We were acquaintances.
Okay.
We really did know each other. You know, people use the word friend so much. No, we were acquaintances. We were comedians at the same time in New York. I knew him in L.A. I had spent some time with him in Chicago. So we had this thing. We didn't realize until we were doing the hour pilot when we were auditioning people and we do scenes with the both of us with them. It's like, holy shit. It's like we've been comedy partners for 40 years. Yeah.
Find that same wavelength. I find that people that kind of grow up, you're the same age. You came up the same way. You know,
are you from Detroit?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. You got that Midwestern accent.
A little bit.
You know, a lot of times Detroiters have a little bit of a Canadian accent.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep,
whereas right yours is full on Midwestern.
Well,
yours is
you.
One step away from Chicago.
I'm a son of an Italian immigrant.
Well, there's plenty of those in Chicago.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
And here in Detroit.
In Detroit. Any guitar in the show this week? No?
Well, you went on stage?
Yeah.
No.
No.
You know what I'm tempted to do is when I'm one of my tours in the future is to have a guitar on the side of the stage where the audience can see it with a little amp and never talk about it, never say anything. I did this once. I had a saxophone, and I used to put it on stage in the stand and never play it. And I could see it bothering people, and people would go in the Q&A, what's with the saxophone? I'd go, oh, yeah, there's a saxophone over there.
Yeah.
I never would. And then with the guitar, what I want to do is do that and say goodnight. Wait about a minute and then come back out as they're leaving and sit down and play like Boogie Chillin' by John Lee Hooker or something like that and catch them by surprise.
There you go. It's like Chekhov's Strat.
Yes. Yes.
If you bring a guitar on stage, the audience will be waiting for it to get played.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not this week. But I love that because I love all that stuff. You talk about Mike Bloomfield. That's my guy. God, when I got into
Mike
guitar,
Bloomfield, yeah.
I just said that Super
with the
Session
64,
record. That
the 64 Rosewood Tele.
Yeah.
And then the 59 Les Paul. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Mike Bloomfield's a Jew from the north side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Is one of the master blues men of all time.
Yeah, he's great. And they gave him, I like that in that Dylan movie. They gave him, you know, they didn't really draw attention to it, but they gave him a little spotlight there. It was nice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's Bloomfield. Yeah.
Because people like us would be watching that going, well, they gotta highlight Bloomfield a little bit. They gotta, you know, it's a big part of those records.
Yes.
Dylan record. Do you see Dylan still? Is the guy you go to?
Do I sing Dylan?
Yeah, do you see him in concert?
I haven't seen him for a number of years.
Yeah, I haven't seen him since
'89. One of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
He's one of my favorites. I wanted to go see him on the minor league ballpark tour.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
That was cool.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't seen him in years. But he's definitely someone I admire greatly.
Yeah, me too. I always go, I should go. And then I like Dylan and I should go, but I'm always worried about being disappointed. Because
Well, by the way, as a guy through the years who's known as being inconsistent, is Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen him where he's great, and I've seen him where he's not so great.
Yeah.
And everybody, if you're a big Dylan fan, you've experienced that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To where you see him and you think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the next time you see him and you want to almost go up to him and go, Really? Really?
Because but he did his first song, and I was like, what is he even doing? And then finally I hear, everybody must get stoned. And I go, oh, yes, he's doing that. But you wouldn't even
like
know.
Speed versions?
Yeah, yeah.
That are weird. Like, not. Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, I love the guy. I mean, he's amazing. Those records are just the best.
Yes.
All right, Jeff. I think we've said enough. I think if they haven't bought a ticket.
I've been on, I had quintuplets. Okay.
That's the thing that could happen.
How long we've been on together. I impregnated my girlfriend, and she's already had the babies, and they're quintuplets. Their names are Joe, Jimmy, Janice, and Cock Roberts. That's me being stupid. That is just so dumb. And if you are coming to the show this weekend, I promise nothing like that
nothing
will occur.
Like that. Nothing's dumb. Only smart comedy this Sunday night.
Well, I don't know that it's not going to be dumb, but you know, the names of my quintuplets was not remotely funny. Even the punch of Cock Robin. It is. What's funny about that?
But you,
except for the cuh sound.
You've made a career out of doing exactly that. And that's what people love about you. That's why I've been such a fan for years.
Well, thank you.
Such an honor to talk to you, dude. I'll see you Sunday night.
Well, you'll see me Sunday night. I'll be wearing cotton.
I do the offstage voice of God thing. I do the tech there.
Okay.
So you'll see me.
Great.
We'll be in the green room together.
I look forward to it.
Absolutely.
And I will base your voice of God. Well, we'll talk about this later. No, it's true.
Is there a voice of God I should try to match?
No.
Gold standard for that?
You know, a lot of times, I have the MC introduce the middle act. The middle act gets off, and then I just go on the stage, you know, because they're there to see me. But a lot of times I like the voice of God, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Garland. So I'm going to play it by ear, but you may be doing that. We'll see. There's some excitement for all of us.
Well, I will work on that line for the next couple of days.
All right, well, a pleasure talking to you.
A pleasure talking to you, Jeff. Everybody, get your tickets now if you haven't. Just go.
All right.
Go now.
Enjoy
Thanks,
your
Jeff.
Good looks. Well,
Thanks,
I'll see you this weekend.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there it is. Jeff Garland, I think the Joe Rogan thing, I think I cleared the air on that. I think that was not a thing I was trying to say. It was anti-Joe, because he didn't mean his comment about don't hump the air. But I also, as a comic, agree with don't hump the air. It's never funny. I've never humped the air in 25 years of comedy. So, and Jeff will not be humping the air. So anyway, it's going to be a really fun show on Sunday. Getting the show up so late in the week to promote it, I feel bad about. But hey, that's when he was available. He was super fun to talk to. Thanks to Jeff and his team for setting this up, and everybody over at the club, Bill Bouchard, Naomi, Mark Ridley, as always, who always help out getting these things booked and getting the guests and reaching out. So I always appreciate that. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it. Jeff's a guy that I've been a big fan of over the years. I think I'm a really big fan of somebody. I think I do a pretty good interview. I'll tell you, and again, this may sound funny, this may sound like I'm making a joke, but the Yakov Smirnoff interview I did a couple years back is one of my favorites. Because I was a big fan of Yakov Smirnoff, and he's got a great story. So I enjoyed that one as well. But Jeff Garland, I mean, come on, come to the show this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. Maybe I'll bring him out. I'm going to practice right now before we say goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Garland. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Garland. Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy of Jeff Garland. Are you ready to laugh? We're going to keep this comedy train going with the man that you've seen on TV, radio, everywhere. Get his podcast wherever you get podcasts. Here's Jeff Garland. Not doing that. Don't do that. I think it's Robert Horton's job this weekend. Don't screw it up, Robert. All right, let's get out of here, guys. Thanks for listening. Come catch Jeff. Come catch Josh Sneed. We'll catch you next week. All right, guys. Bye-bye.